This is part one of What is Heaven?
The law of the Feast of Weeks produces heaven. Not everybody who sings about heaven will enter. Not everybody who talks about heaven is going there. Not everybody knows that there really is a heaven. Almost nobody knows what heaven really is. It's such a limited term in the dictionary. So limited until you can't determine what heaven is or where it is. So tonight, we're going to learn what heaven is and whether you qualify to enter or not. And if you do not qualify, what you must do in order to qualify. Heaven is known as paradise. And in my travels, I've heard many places on earth called paradise, such as Hawaii has been called Paradise Island. And they say come back to many of the Caribbean islands. Paradise. Now that proves something that's shocking. Heaven is known to be on earth. And that is shocking because that's not what I learned at home and in church. I learned, perhaps what you did, that heaven is a place that we don't know and can only hope to know about through death. And that left me with a funny feeling because I used to always ask the question, what about people who are left on the earth when the trumpet sounds? You tell me about death, but what about those that are still walking around alive? And then you heard confusion because the people preaching about heaven didn't know what to do with those walking around still alive. Now, they could safely dispose of everybody dead because couldn't nobody check on death. Nobody ever had a visitor from the ground. And if anybody started coming up from the ground, you know what we would do. I don't need to go into that. Heaven seemed to be a place that only we would know our mother, maybe our grandmother. After that, we wouldn't know anybody in heaven anyway, because we didn't know our relatives. And according to the preacher, when he conducts a funeral, nobody's going to hell. You ever notice? I mean, all churches forgive the worst meanie on earth at death. All they just call the priest and let him be there, and boom. No matter how mean you were, you somehow get a chance to go to heaven. So all relatives have a chance to feel good about their devil relative. Now maybe you heard a hellfire damnation sermon for somebody that lived, but I never did. I mean, I knew people that were showing up bad folk, and they were never condemned to hell. How many witnessed that same thing? So, we knew even less about hell. Except it's someplace that's on fire. That's about it. And you should think that with everybody dying going to heaven, we ought to know something about it. So expressly where it is. And it should be a place as important as heaven. Should have a lot of road signs. I mean, that should be a clear-cut map, in my opinion, to heaven. I mean, it's the place where everybody on earth wants to go, but there are no road maps. No road signs. No information on just the direct route. You know, what's the shortest route to heaven? And something strange about the way we were taught about heaven. No matter who we loved that went there, we didn't want to go see them. Ever notice? I mean, you may have loved, I don't care how you love whoever it is you knew. See, you still don't want to go there, wherever that is. Because, see, you know how to get there. You don't have to wait and die. You know how to die. So why don't you just do what's necessary and go on? See, you don't trust the preacher either. So you say, well, life might be difficult, but I'm hanging around for better days. But yet there are references all over the earth. Shangri-La. How many heard of Shangri-La? So you who are scholars have heard of Shangri-La. You that are not scholars have not heard of Shangri-La. But that's a religious heaven of another people. But there's one thing unique about Shangri-La compared to the Christian heaven. It's in the mountains. See, Shangri-La is hidden up in some caves up there in the Himalayas. And all of a sudden, no matter how much snow and blizzard is around, just whoosh, all of a sudden you're in Shangri-La. Heaven. I mean, everything is blooming, sun is shining. I mean, all around this spot, it is natural born blizzard. You'll never get there normally. But yet, it's a place where people live. And you don't die. You just live on. In earthly, heavenly splendor. Another proof that heaven is on the earth. Now the trick is to cause the people to whom heaven belongs to believe it is outer space and a place you go after death. The enemies to the people of heaven have a vested interest in convincing the people of heaven that it can't be had on earth. And if you watch people from other nations, you discover right away if you're awake. So you have to be awake to see this. You really, when I call it to your attention, you'll realize what I'm about to say. If you watch the people on earth, all nations live, all rulers of the earth live as if they know heaven is only on earth. And there's something peculiar about all the rulers of every nation on the earth. They live in earthly heavens. A lifestyle the opposite of the true people of heaven. The people of heaven, the people of heaven are living in hell on earth, while the enemies to the people of heaven are living in heaven on earth. They have all the luxury, everything that you can imagine heaven is, the rulers of the earth have it and live it and enjoy it, they and their children. So why is it that all the nations of the earth keep it secret that heaven is on earth, paradise is on earth, so that they can maintain their rulership under Cain's and Lucifer and Cain's lifestyle? The rich are able to live in heaven by exploiting the masses. The people of heaven created for everybody. The whole earth can enjoy heaven when the people of heaven take charge. Now, Lucifer, why is the world opposite now? Because Lucifer didn't want heaven for everybody. He wanted to be ruler of heaven for himself, proving he was jealous of Yahweh's heaven and Yahweh's rulership and authority in heaven. Since Yahweh had already created heaven, it wouldn't do Lucifer any good to try to create another heaven, because heaven already existed. So he wouldn't get any credit for anything he did heavenly. So he was forced to try to create heaven out of the opposite. I know I was there. That's why I can tell you these things. So you didn't know about this, but I'm telling you because I was there. That's how I'm come down. I'm bringing heaven. Heaven is coming down to the earth. It comes down with me. And I have heaven with me, but in your underworld thinking, you can't see it. Not only can you not see it, you have no concept of what it is. Now that's the synoptic overview of how hell on earth came about. See, Yahweh just said, okay, Lucifer, now I'm going to kill you for this, but not now. I'm going to reserve you for the end of your rule. Your rulership has an automatic limit. 6,000 years is as long as yours will be able to last without bringing self-destruction and destruction of all the earth and what I put in motion. So take your opposition and see if you can create heaven on earth. And if you can, I'll let you do it. So see, I'm God of both anyway, bipolar opposites. I'm God of the negative and the positive. So if you can take negative and make it heaven, you go right ahead. But I'm telling you, it'll only last 6,000 years. And it's going to be nothing but hell, but you think you can do it, fine. See, but the reason I'm not going to kill you now is because of my stupid angels who were foolish enough to listen to you. I mean, you actually talked a third of my angels into listening to you because they didn't know the opposite. Now, I hear that well now. See, you didn't. Hey, if the angels of heaven all knew the opposite, then Lucifer couldn't have tricked him. They'd have known the end result. The angels of heaven only knew good. That's all they knew was the tree of life. That's all the fruit they had ever eaten from. In heaven, in the midst of the garden, that's all they ate was the tree of life. They had been obeying Yahweh. You see, the tree of good and evil was also there. Hey, you have free will. It's there. And Lucifer reversed our diet. He talked us into going against our good diet. And as you see today, he teaches you that the abomination is a delicacy. Lobsters and oysters and shrimp, every creeping, all things that Yahweh has laid out as an abomination, which is abominable. It's abominable because it destroys your health and your life. That's bad for your body. and your mind. So it goes together. When you take a person's mind from good, then his body also pays the price of the badness. When you follow the good teaching, then your body has good health. When you follow bad teachings, your body has bad health. Because the angels only knew good, Satan came up with an opposite plan, and that wiped out a third of the angels of heaven. And Yahweh said, because you did that, I'm going to kill you. Don't worry. Don't think that because you can just rise up against me and go free. Oh, I'm going to get you, just you wait and see. But I'm going to teach my angels a lesson. See, I know when you get through with them for 6,000 years, they'll be ready for me forever. So see, when I told Satan that, he said, okay, I'll be ready for you. I'll have your angels ready to curse you to your face when you come. They won't even know you when I get through with them. He said, well, go ahead then. Lucifer actually thought he could exercise more power than I in 6,000 years. The whole thing was, he really knows he's inferior to me. But the power that he felt he could exercise was in keeping the angels of heaven deceived against me when I come, and that I would never be able to recover you. And that's the way he felt he could get back at me and defeat me, was to take my loved ones from me and cause them not to know me when I come for them and not receive me when I come for them, and that they would laugh at me and mock me, be stiff-necked, hard-headed, and rebellious against me when I come. And I said, go ahead. I'm going to show you, and you'll see that I'm God of gods. You may be a god, but I'm going to show you who's the God of gods. Now you watch. So it's not mercy for Satan to learn a lesson. It's for the angels to learn. And now I am here proving Satan is a liar. Because he said, you wouldn't recognize me when I come. He said, you would not receive me when I come. He said, you wouldn't serve me when I come. He said you would love his ways so much that you just wouldn't go for the opposite of what he told you. You'd never return home. Looks like he's a liar. Satan, from his inception, was and is an enemy to the people of heaven. So those of us who don't know where heaven is are the people of heaven. And those who think heaven is one place in the sky, Satan is a liar. So it's the opposite. Is right on earth. Gold, just like gold and silver is the real money, so he gives you the opposite. Paper. Honey is the real sweetener. Genuine. Legal sweetener. So he gives you granulated white poison and call it sugar because it's sweet. Yahweh gives you whole wheat bread with a life germ in the bread. So your enemy takes all the life out of the bread and bleaches white. And you eat bread that has no life in it. None. And in case the crust just looked brown, you'll tear it off. If it just looked like life, you'll tear it off. He taught you to love death and hate life. You can't enter heaven ignorant. Heaven is on earth, paradise. Heaven is also bliss. Give me bliss, baby. Get your dick. I'm going to run you tonight. I'm going to try my best to get where I'm going. It's going to be difficult. If I get where I'm going tonight, I might be here till 12. I don't know if you want that or not. Praise God. All your life you've been waiting to die to go to heaven, and you can find out how to get to heaven in just a few minutes. I think it might be worth the wait. I don't mind doing it if you don't mind receiving it. Praise God. When your feet get tired, you can stand up and cheer, but see, my feet will be tired right on. And I don't mind them being tired for you. Bliss.
Bliss. Supreme happiness.
Heaven. Heaven is bliss. Now, your enemy told you you had to die to get to supreme happiness. When heaven is simply supreme happiness. You know what supreme means? The ultimate, I mean, the highest. There's the epitome of happiness. There is no happiness greater to any degree. That is it. Now, I'm telling you, you can have supreme happiness on earth. That's what I represent. I am supreme happiness. That's who I am. Praise God. Now, if I was supreme hell, all your enemies would direct you to me. They'd turn my people right over to me. Without hindrance. I mean, I'd be in headlines every day if I was supreme head. So you know who I am just by how your enemies talk about me. The fact they cast my name out as evil to keep my people away from me proves I'm the opposite of evil. And when you come and investigate me, you find I am supreme happiness. If you want to live what I teach. Praise God. Now all the day long you're taught supreme evil. From the bottomless pit. All right. Bliss, baby.
Bliss. The joy of heaven.
All right. Supreme happiness. How many would like to have forever supreme happiness? Your hand seems to indicate that you really kind of have an idea what that means. Supreme happiness means nothing else enters your mind. Nothing negative, nothing, no downer. I mean, this man is so wicked, he got a pill called a upper, and he has a pill called a downer. He can speed you up and slow you down. He can take you out and bring you back. I mean, this devil is awesome. And teach you to love an upper, a temporary upper, and then teach you to love taking a temporary downer. When you can have supreme happiness eternally, continuously, non-stop. I mean, one supreme orgasm that just don't quit. You know, an orgasm is a sign of heaven. That's all it is. But Yahweh doesn't let you have too much of it too long at a time. It's just too much. It'll overwhelm you. I mean, it'll overwhelm you to such an extent you'll say, that's enough. That's enough, baby. Oh, baby, that's enough. I can't take no more. That's enough. See, I'm the God of supreme happiness. I know what I'm talking about. And I know what to do. Oh, yes, because I created heaven. So I know how to make the heaven. Oh, yes, I do. I know exactly where heaven is. Know the direct route to heaven. Straight out. I don't have to go around no routes or nothing. Right? Straight to heaven. And it's celestial, too. It truly is a mind thing. You can connect through the terrestrial. See, you can be on the terrestrial and enjoy that celestial. Oh, yeah. And that ought to tell you about heaven. See, it's right here. Everything I need to enjoy heaven, I have it. Right here within myself. I can make myself feel good. I just be narcissistic. I look in the mirror and just, oh, wow. You look good, Yahweh. Just get right off, right there. Just look at myself and just, wow. Be supremely happy just from myself. Oh, ho, yeah, you know how it is. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You can enjoy heaven on this app from within yourself. That ought to tell you where it is. Dead means you don't get that no more. Child, go back to bliss.
Bliss, heaven, paradise.
There's the word.
Paradise. That's an earthly phenomenon. Read.
A cause of great joy.
A cause of great joy. You can have great joy on earth. Go ahead.
Bliss. Delight.
Delight. There are many delightful things. And there are many delightful thoughts. You just don't have to die and go to another planet to have this. You have delight right here. I'm painting the goal for you before I take you to the point of whether you qualify or not. Bliss.
Bliss. Happiness.
Happiness. Heaven is happiness. That's a state of mind. You don't understand that all these points are a state of mind? All of which are attainable in this life with Yahweh. Okay, come on.
Felicity.
Felicity. How sweet felicity is. Right? Now, you don't know what it is. Come on, yes, sir. You never looked up felicity in your life. And if you've looked it up, wonderful. But see, most of us would be hollering, yes, I haven't looked up felicity.
Please turn to side two.
Right. Bliss.
Bliss.
You gonna look it up now?